Heavenly Father, as we go about to express and voice out some thoughts and listen to some thoughts, and all of us listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, we pray that indeed the Holy Spirit might visit us and talk to us and reveal to us truth that will help us in our daily lives. Because basically it boils down to that, doesn't it? Whatever we hear, whatever we experience, it ought to help us in our daily lives. And we come in this place from different situations in our lives, very different situations in our lives. But fortunately, we are blessed by you being able to talk to every need, to address every need. We thank you for the offering that has been taken, the offering that has been presented. It comes from you, and we are grateful that we are blessing this country in such a way, in our lives in such a way. At the same time, we think about other countries where there is want, where there is violence, where there is aggression, where there is death, and where it's poverty. We pray that through the work of your Spirit, things will improve. We pray, O Lord, for this planet, for our humanity at this critical point in time. We give you thanks for being with us and guiding us in this time that we spend together, and not only, but also as when we leave. So we praise you and thank you in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. So, our Father in heaven, and last Sunday at the end of the service, someone came to me and said that somehow in the Lord's Prayer we find the Trinity, we find the Father, we find God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and they are there. Well, of course they are there, because the whole Bible, it's the work of God, the triune God, and even though things are not necessarily spelled out loudly or clearly, nevertheless we know that whatever happens, not only in what's described in the Bible, but whatever happens in the world, it's the work of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so we also, the Church, we affirm our belief in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. So it's good. Yeah, it's nice to see these things here. So last Sunday, I said that as we open our mouths and say, Our Father in heaven, we make a statement. We made a statement about who we are and what we believe. Actually, when we say these words, I said last Sunday, we put out our worldview, the way we look at the world. And in those three, four words there, it's described our, or the Christian worldview. This is how we look at the world. Us in a world created by God our Father, who takes care, who has authority on the things that happen in the world. And of course, there are other thoughts that can be included in it. Today, I'll focus on the following expression: "Hallowed be your name." Now, I don't think I'll take every expression for the following Sundays, but for this Sunday, we'll talk about this: "Hallowed be your name." But before that, I have a bit of an introduction, which might take a bit of time, so bear with me, please. The story of Jesus, because I'm going to take a bit of a swag. The story of Jesus, the Son of God, it's a story of simplicity. I was led to look at this, or as I was preparing the sermon, this word theme came to my mind. The story of Jesus is a story of simplicity and a deep trust in God as a Father. So I'm talking about the whole story of Jesus. It's a story of simplicity. And of course, we just celebrated Christmas, which is, again, a simple story. A simple story. He came as the Father's Son, as God's Son, and yet without bells and whistles, if I can put it like that, without much to attract. And even Isaiah speaks about that. He lived among us. There was nothing that caught our attention. This is what Isaiah wrote before. But this is Jesus' story, a story of simplicity. And Jesus' teaching revealed that God doesn't require a rigid observation of endless rules and regulations. That's how I put it. So with Jesus, we find that what our Heavenly Father desires and delights in, it's not a rigid observation of endless rules and regulations, just to split them to the minutiae and so on. And he or he doesn't require elaborate or costly religious festivals or ceremonies or rituals. So when we think and we read the Old Testament, we sometimes maybe pass very quickly, but it was very elaborate. Those rituals and festivals, they were very loaded with, I don't know, with all sorts of things that make it almost a burden for people. So Jesus came with his teachings about a simple and content life. So generally speaking, his teachings show that a simple and content life is honoring God. You don't have to have any religious attire. We don't have to have here, candles and all religious symbols, the things like that. They are not necessary. They may be helpful at one point, but they are not necessary. A simple life honoring God is what God desires. The daily life provides ample opportunities to worship God. We can worship God all the day long, every day, forever, well, for much as we live. Actually, as I thought about it, a life lived in reverence to God is actually a worshiping life. So as long, even as I walk down the street in my thoughts, or I walking conscious of the fact that God is there and I'm his child, that's a worship. That's a worship that can be a worship. Remember, Brother Lawrence, he took delight in the fact being in the kitchen and washing the dishes and saying, well, this is how we worship God, washing the dishes for his brother monks. And Luther said, well, the crow crows because that's what God made him like, and that's his worship. Not a crow, the rooster. The rooster crows. The crow crows. You got the idea. Oh, okay. Let me get back to the text here. I would like to mention two acts, two activities that Jesus instituted that they point to this simplicity. And I spoke about the first one at Lent before, and that's the Lord's Supper. And time again, I refer to the Lord's Supper as a simple meal. And when you think about it, it could be the simplest of the meals out there, just bread and wine. And so, and it is simple in its presentation, but it's so deep in its symbolical meaning. So sometimes people are blinded, let's say, by its simplicity and lose the deep symbolism and lose the deep meaning of having the piece of bread in their hands and having that wine in their hands. Those representing the greatest events that happened in this world ever, that actually brought us into this status before God. So the Lord's Supper, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me, is such a simple meal. Because Jesus could have put in place something, oh God, elaborate, you have to go and buy and kill and so on. No, it's just the bread and the wine. It's simple. And then the Lord's Prayer. It's a simple prayer, I'll put it. And yet again, notwithstanding its simplicity, it's so deeply meaningful. We could spend some time and meditate upon those words and what they mean, expressions, and be constantly enriched what it's represented there. And of course, in this time that we spend talking about the Lord's Prayer, well, I forgot, we'll have to recite it, but it's going to come later. The Lord's Prayer, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And so it goes. It's a simple prayer. Most of you might know it by heart. Yet it's so encompassing, honoring God and putting ourselves under his authority. So when we say that prayer, of course it's more to it than just saying, but when we say that prayer, we put ourselves under God's authority and care. And clearly, in my view, Jesus' purpose was to embed in people's minds the thought that the divine is all around us. It's not there, out there somewhere, hard to reach, difficult to understand. But divine, God's presence, it's all around us in our daily lives. All the time. It only needs, as we learn about it later, to look at the world with an open eyes, with the eyes of faith, to have that world view that this is God's world. It is the Father's world. I think it's a song or some or a hymn, something like that. This is the Father's world. So Jesus wanted to embed in our minds, and that's why we know that prayer, and we can build, well, lots of other prayers around the Lord's prayer. It's a simple prayer. We express and glorify God. We await for his resources for daily bread. We forgive our sins and those other sins too. We keep away from the temptation, and we again expect God's kingdom to come. It's a simple prayer. Now, with the first words of the prayer, Our Father in heaven, the ground is set. The theater is being set, to use another type of language. It is us speaking. When we say the Lord's Prayer, it is us speaking. And it is God the Father we are talking to, addressing. We are affirming two things here, apart from what I said last Sunday, that we give out our worldview. We are affirming two things. This is just a short one. So we are affirming our relationship to him. When we say our Father, we are affirming our relationship to him. We are related. So when we say this prayer, we let people know, or we encourage each other with the fact that we are related to God. He is our Father. And because he is our Father, we are his children, brothers and sisters, so to speak, yes? So we affirm our relationship to God. And here you can see that while many people can recite the Lord's Prayer, it might not be true in their lives. But we affirm our relationship to God. And then we also believe that God exists, is there in heaven. And I'll have to say something about heaven just a little bit later on. So we make that affirmation too, that we believe that God, again, exists. And in Hebrew, it's put that faith is believing that God exists and he rewards those that believe in him. So you see how everything ties up together. So now let's get to this expression for us this morning, hallowed be your name. So now that we have a direct line with God, yes, as we address him, our Father in heaven, what is next? And what is next is just there, the hallowing. Let us consider the word hallowed. And we use it very often. I don't know if you took time to read that article in the second page in the newsletter. Well, let me use this opportunity to strongly advise you to read the newsletter as you come in, because some of the things are important, some of them are just daily things, but some of them can help you, and of course the prayer points too. If you read the article in the second page, there is this expression you'll find there, the semantic satiation. The semantic satiation, which is a convoluted way of saying that a word is being used so many times that almost it loses its meaning. It became satiated with meaning, and we just say it and it goes. And sometimes the Lord's Prayer can be that can be the case with the Lord's Prayer. We say it so often that sometimes we just go through the motions. It becomes an intellectual exercise. So this word also, hallowed, and it's a religious word, isn't it? It's not a modern word. I don't remember hearing this word say in different movies, or except they quote the Bible, or as people talk to each other. I didn't hear people using this sort of this word. To hallow, translated from Greek, yes, we read Greek too, means to sanctify. Because the word that's translated hallow, it's actually the word that's translated sanctify. And it's hagiasteto, hagias, Hagia Sophia, that's the Church of the Saint Sophia, used to be in Istanbul, a big church, big Christian church. I think now it's a mosque or something like that. Hagia Sophia, that means Saint Sophie, Sophia in Greek. So to hallow God's word means to sanctify God's word, to make it holy, to holify it, if I can use the term. But we also know that to sanctify or holy means to be set aside, to be dedicated to God, to be consecrated. So if you read in the Old Testament, for example, you can read about certain bread, the bread of God's presence, that was set apart, that was holy. No one could touch it. No one could touch it, just the priests. And they had to change it every day. And that bread was holy, not because it was made from holy ingredients, only because it was set apart for that particular purpose, to be there in the tabernacle before God, that made that bread holy. Also, they had, if you remember, holy incense. No one could make that particular mixture of incense because that was set apart, holy for the Lord. Right? So that's the term of the word holy, to dedicate, to consecrate. So let your name be sanctified, we say. Hallowed be your name. It's another way of saying let your name be sanctified, or let your name be set aside. Let me tell you the opposite first, and we'll go some more from here. What will be the opposite of setting aside the Lord's name? The opposite will be, of course, not setting aside the Lord's name. And in the Old Testament, well, just to refresh our memory, it's one of the commandments, if you remember. So let us refresh our memory in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. It's one of the commandments. You shall not misuse. Yes, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. So when we got to this point, I'll have to share it with you. All those OMGs, they don't sound good in the Christian's mouth. You know the OMGs? Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. That sort of thing. You find all sort of expressions. And sometimes you look at the people who say those expressions and you wonder, are these people Christian? Don't they know what they're talking about? OMG, OMG. Well, don't take it in vain. So set it aside. Let it be a holy name. And for the Jewish people, actually they didn't use the name of God at all. They referred to God as the Holy One, the Exalted One. All those are references to God. They never used what we use, Yahweh. They never use it. Because that was set aside, that was holy, that wasn't to be mingled with other names. So when I say hallowed be your name, I mean, or I ought to mean, I set aside your name to be different, to be special, to be above all names, not to be taken lightly, not to be trampled, not to be laughed at, etc., etc., etc. So that hallowed be your name also means. Now that we set up what it means, that it means to lift up that name, to set it aside, to revere it, to love it. You know, of course, let's say, we say, Oh Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So now I'm asking you, how can be God's name hallowed? Or better still, who does the hallowing? Who do you think does the hallowing? Come on. Us. Oh, you'll find out that it's not only us. We are only part of what already goes on. Think about it. Who does the hallowing? How come God's name would be hallowed? Let's see. I found two ways because the third one falls on us. First one, the heavenly beings. The heavenly beings are hallowing God's name. Of course, you may ask, how do you know? I don't know. Well, we don't know what exactly goes in heaven. The only person, the only man who was there and came back was somehow couldn't find words to describe what goes on in there. You know who it is, is it? Paul, where he was actually, there are two interpretations. He was forbidden to say what he saw, or he just didn't have words to describe. Of course, you don't have words to describe something that you've never seen or just took your breath away. So we don't know from Paul, but the book of Revelation gives us a hint. Gives us a hint, because John in Patmos Island had a vision, and he saw something. He saw something. What did he see? And in verse 8, chapter 4, we read that as he looked at that scene that he had in his vision, each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night, keep this phrase in mind, day and night, they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." We take John's vision as somehow representative of what goes in heaven. Day and night, no stop. The heaven resounds in the saints with this hallowing of God's name. Holy, holy, holy is the name of the Lord Almighty, who was, is, and is to come. And this gives us, what takes us back to Isaiah seeing similar vision when entering God's temple. And it was the same word saying, somewhere the heavenly beings, maybe in another role, somewhere else, this hallowing of God's name never stops. Never stops. So thinking about it from this point of view, it is a privilege. Because God's hallowing name doesn't rest on you, on me, but it is a privilege. And I become part of it. Can you see it? It's a privilege. A huge privilege, I would say. The heavenly beings are hallowing God's name, sanctifying God's name, lifting up God's name, praising God's name, affirming God's name, whatever phrase you want to use, there, day and night, no stop. How they can do it, I don't know, and I'm going to try to explain it. Then we have the second wave, so to speak. The heavenly bodies, which is the celestial bodies, the heavenly bodies are hallowing God's name. And you are familiar with this example, Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Psalm 19, verse 1. It's almost like, you know, all that God created, they saying, hey, look at us, we are here. What do you think? You go to the beach and you see the sunset, it's almost like the beach and the sun say, hey, look at me, am I not beautiful? Or you go see a valley, you go see some fruit, you go see a bird, you look around and all that you can see, it's almost crying out loud. And this is what actually the psalmist says, declare the glory of God. All these things, speak. Different language, but speak about what? Well, they speak about who created us. Who do you think created this sort of thing? Oh, no, they just came like that. Yeah, well, I doubt that. The skies here refer to the expanse. They don't refer to this, to the whole expanse that God created. And that expanse includes what? The stars. Planets, someone said the air, the light, the galaxies. What about the gravitational force? What about the magnetic force? What about other forces that are there? What about the black holes? Oh, I don't know exactly about the black holes because no one can see them, but they say they are there. But anyway, these sort of things, God, these things declare the name of the Lord. And what about the word declare? I look it up because it seemed too simply for me, and declare also means to enumerate, to recount, to present a list. And take your mind to the times when you might have attended a memorial service. And what one thing that happens during a memorial service is recounting, listing up aspects of the person's life. That's a celebration of the person's life. So the heavens declare the glory of God. It means that whatever is there, they just celebrate God's creation again and again and again, because they have been created so wonderfully. And of course, this is not to ask the question, why did God create this anyway? For me? Are you serious? Well, this is not the question of our sermon, but the heavenly bodies declare and hallow God's name. And that, again, I think it goes, I think the second verse in that psalm is day by day. Day by day. Ongoing situation. It never stops. And again, brings us into the picture. We are not needed. So that God's name be hallowed. But isn't that a privilege? Or not? To be part of what goes on. Everywhere else, all the time. Everywhere else, all the time. And of course, then in the picture we come, you and me. And that's why we say this prayer, hallowed be your name. Knowing that everything else hallows God's name, of course, we are being also invited into this process, into this celebration of who God is. Of course, we are the ones, we are to be the ones who hallow God's name, to sanctify it, to set it aside, to honor it. You must have heard stories that in the Muslim world, if someone dares to laugh at their prophet, their lives are in danger. Have you heard about it? If someone mocks Muhammad, you'll be in danger. And in certain countries, you'll be officially put to death. What about the Hezbollah? Or I don't know exactly, in France, when they published a caricature of Muhammad, and things were poof in the world. Should I ask you, in what way Jesus' name is used in the world today? It's everywhere. It's everywhere. Let not be ones that we use it that way. So how are we to hallow God's name? Sort of getting closer to the closing part. I become part of this process. I become part and I join with this chorus or magnitude of beings and this creation that hallows God's name by. And I'm not going to give you now biblical verses. I'm going to stick with the Lord's Prayer. So I become part of this process of God's name being hallowed by waiting for his kingdom to come. See, I think as I wait for his kingdom to come, that's part of glorifying God, being on God's side, believing in God. I wait for that kingdom. I not only wait, but also pray. I not only pray, I live in such a way that he is coming. I'm part of this process of God's name being hallowed by doing his will. Because we pray also, your will be done. And we can take even these words, hallowed be your name on earth as it is in heaven. See, not only your will be done, but also hallowed the name on earth as it is in heaven. I am part of sanctifying God and putting his name aside when I receive the daily bread. And I'm thankful for it. And hence we have as Christians, when we do pray before the meal, we say grace. Okay, but it is a way of acknowledging and declaring, I've got this food from you. By receiving the daily bread, I acknowledge him as a giver. By forgiving those around me and receiving God's forgiveness, I honor God. So every time I forgive, I honor God, because I myself am forgiven. And also, that I might keep away from temptation and from evil and rely on God for his protection. I hallow his name. So see, to wrap it up a little bit, the Lord's Prayer and the words are one way of hallowing God and praying. The other way is living the daily life in this knowledge of God. You walk down the street knowing that you are a child of God. Wind, rain, snow, earthquake, or tsunami, or war, or whatever, I don't say it doesn't matter, but those are not the influential factors of my life. God is the one that influences my life. So I walk down the street, I do the work, I sleep at night, and I do live daily lives under this knowledge and authority of God, that with whatever I do, I can hallow his name. So that's the invitation for this year, brothers and sisters, that as we, at least not at the beginning, as we look forward for the year that come, let's make it a practice, really. You can do it every day, as you have heard from John, you have heard from me. Every time I get into the car, I say it aloud. Well, sometimes in the car, when with Tatiana, we pray some other things as well. But when I'm alone, I say it aloud. Say it aloud. It calms you down. It's almost like counting to 10, you know, what these wise counselors tell you all the time. When you feel angry, count to 10. Well, say the Lord's Prayer, or better still, don't be angry. So let's do this habit of yours. And maybe when we finish the Lord's Prayer, you can share with us some of the I don't know, experiences, some of the things that you have gone through. So this is for today with hallowing God's name. It is a special name. It is a special. And my prayer is that throughout the year, we'll continue to revere, to honor, to sanctify, to set aside God's name.